Back with you again. I want to thank Charlie for filling in while I was gone. I was able to watch you from Brazil on live stream. You rocked it, bro. It was good stuff. That was so much fun to be in my hotel room and watch Abundant Life and keep track of what you're doing. I love live stream. It was great. But we're back next week, next Sunday. We'll be sharing a little bit about what happened, what we were able to do on that trip. And it was just a really, really wonderful time. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Really appreciate that. Today and next week, we've got Rally Sunday is over. We're not quite ready for our new, fall series to start. And so I wanted to take this week and next week to talk on the subject of peace. The subject of peace. This week, I want to talk about the peace that we need from God in our lives. And next week, I want to talk about being a peacemaker. Being a peacemaker. So you won't want to miss next week as a follow-up to today. How many would say, just in your life, because of the culture we're in, because of the, maybe it's the political climate that we're in, we all are aware of global tensions. When we were in Brazil, walking along the streets, it was very common every 40, 50, 60 yards to see 3-4 military personnel armed to the teeth because of the violent climate that we're in. How many would say that these things happening in our world have created a bit of unrest in your life? Okay, most of us. Maybe that's not the source of your unrest. Maybe it's something personal. We live in this valley that's very, very difficult. Every conversation I have with a new person that winds its way around to living in this valley always lands on how am I ever going to afford a place, especially if they're a young person or a single or young married. That creates tension. It creates unrest. Traffic is increasing. The level of our building is increasing. As you see the new home complexes go in, that's increasing. And life is changing. And when change happens, it has a tendency to create unrest in our hearts. How many of you would say that you felt that? I felt that too. Says after living here as long as we have and watching our neighborhoods change. I'm hearing different speakers speak, and some of the speakers are saying, the sky is falling. The rapture is going to happen any moment now, just because the world is going so crazy. And I've heard other speakers say, would you just relax? Especially you that are over 40. I heard one speaker say this. If you're over 40, you need to just relax. Stop worrying. We know the world isn't like it was when you grew up. It's different now, but everything's going to be okay. And I'm not sure I believe either one of those sides. I'm not sure, because of the way I know Scripture, that Jesus is going to come back by the time the service is over. Could he? Yeah, it's his decision to come when he wants. But if I read my Scripture right, it seems that there needs to be some things to happen first. I'm also not so sure that everything's okay. That we ought not to just, hey, it's going to all work out. Just let everything play out. It's been worse before. I'm not sure I believe that either. What we're in, church, is a constant fight for peace in our lives. I'm not talking about national peace, peace between nations, peace between racial groups. I'm talking about that internal rest in our hearts. That ability to wake up every day and no matter what the newspaper says, no matter what it says on the internet, no matter what you're hearing on the radio, that you can honestly, with absolute authenticity, say, my heart's at rest. We're Christians, amen? If the Christians are going crazy and keyed up, what hope is there for the world? We are a distinct people. A people called of God, a people with the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if we're freaking out, how is the world supposed to not freak out? We've got to be able to live an alternative. To be able to live in such a way that we could say, things are crazy. There is tension. There is a climate that is in conflict. But God is great. And God lives in my life. And no matter what else happens around me, it is well with my soul. And I can live at rest. We need that, church, in our lives. So many of us view all of those things that are going on, and then we somehow think that if we worry about it a little bit, it somehow helps. How many of you would say you even treat worry as a friend sometimes? Maybe you won't admit that, but some of us do. That it's almost like it's a friendship that we have with worry. I heard a story about an exasperated husband. He asked his wife, "Why are you always worrying when it doesn't do any good?" And she piped up, "Oh, yes, it does do any good. 90% of the things I worry about never happen." Maybe you feel that way. It somehow helps those things to worry about them. Well, Jesus says something completely different. He says not to worry. We let our minds go crazy places. This morning I want to talk about peace. There's a scripture that I want us to get into our minds. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Say this scripture with me, would you? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Say it again. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word rule is important. When we say rule, peace is in charge. Amen? This scripture says, let the peace of God be in charge. Let the peace of God have command. Let the peace of God overcome every other thing in your heart. Let the peace of God be the dictator in your life. Many times, violence or politics or economics or the weather or your own illnesses, those are the things that dictate the condition of our hearts. Colossians 3:15, though, says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Say it one more time, and let's change the words a little bit. Let's change the word in your hearts to in my heart. Let's say that. Let the peace of God rule in my heart. We gotta live there, don't we? Can we just pause right now and pray that in? Let's do that. Let's just pray that scripture right into us. Lord God, this morning as we learn from your word, let your peace, Lord, let the peace of God rule in our hearts. For my heart, Lord, let the peace of God, let your peace, Lord, have command in my heart. That no matter what is happening outside of me, I know whom I've believed. And I'm persuaded that you are able to keep me. And you will until the day I see you face to face. Lord, let the peace of God, let your peace rule in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Church, God is real. He's not a myth. He's not some kind of idea. He's not some kind of fantasy. He's not some kind of wishful thinking. God is real. Amen. God is here right now. God is present. Where God's presence is, his peace resides. It's just the way it is. When you look at Scripture, do you ever see, except for the one time when Jesus was bearing the sin of the world on his body, and then he even worked through that and found peace, do you ever see Jesus freaking out? He never does. He never does. He's always in calm. Situations weren't always good. How many times do you see the people throwing off restraint, wanting to throw him off a cliff, or wanting to stone him, or wanting to take his life, and he just manages it? Because he's always at peace. That can be ours today because that same Holy Spirit lives in our lives. Good happens. Bad happens. We know that, right? We're not talking about some kind of wishful thinking that, oh, we'll have peace when all the bad stuff stops happening. No, bad stuff will happen. Good stuff will happen. Our peace is not determined by those things. Our peace is determined by the presence of God. I like what Augustine said when he said these words. Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. That's truth. My heart's restless, God. It's upset. It's upside down. It's spinning. It's tight. It's anxious. It's confused. It's wondering. It's worrying until I find it at rest in you. That's what we need today. Scripture says in Ephesians this, for he himself is our peace. It's him. Peace isn't a commodity. Peace is found in a person, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly why people who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior can try to conjure up a sense of peace, can try to self-help themselves into a place of peace, but it never, ever works. Momentarily, maybe, but for the long haul, for a lifetime, it doesn't work, because only in the presence of God, who is our peace, can you find rest for your souls. The peace of God is truly synonymous with the presence of God. We can be in peace anytime and all the time if we'll just be aware of the presence of God. The question is how often throughout our day are we aware of the presence of God? That's our goal, to live in that presence momentarily, and therefore then live in the peace of God. Peace in your life is not determined by a lack of conflict or any outward circumstance, but rather by the rest in the inner man, the inner man experiences when the presence of the Lord fills your heart and your mind. This is reality, church. Right now, if you're one of those people that raised their hand and said, I've got anxiousness in my heart. I've got tension. I'm stressed. Or at a smaller level, I just don't feel peaceful in my life. I've got good news for you. Today we're going to learn how we can, after we're done, walk out of this place with peace in our lives and learn how to maintain that. So it's not just a one-off Sunday kind of a charge, but we can learn what it truly means to have peace in our life. And one of the first things that we need to do is to discover, well, what are the things that rob us of peace? It's good to understand what takes our peace from us. If we say, oh yes, I want the peace of God, but we continue to practice things that are peace stealers, then we just fight against ourselves. So let's look at just a few things that the Word of God talks about in regard to the things that rob us of our peace. The first one is envy. Envy. Here's what Scripture says about envy. Proverbs chapter 14, 30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. You ever felt that in your life? I have. When there's been envy in my life, when I've felt that feeling of what I don't have is not good enough, that I'm not good enough, that I'm inadequate, I'm insecure, and I see other people who seem to be so far ahead or so much better, or their things are brighter, their things are shinier, and I want that and I crave that, and it makes me so dissatisfied with what I have. Envy rots the bones. It robs you of your peace. Envy is that thing that fights against our contentment. And the Scripture says, contentment with godliness is great gain. Are you discontent today because of envy? Somebody else owns and you don't. Somebody else has bigger than yours. Somebody else has nicer than yours. Somebody else has the office that you want. Somebody else makes the pay that you would like to have. Somebody else is perfectly healthy and you're battling with an illness. Somebody else, somebody else, somebody else, somebody else. Envy comes because we compare. Peace will be restored when we realize that God is a lover of us. He went to the cross for you. He loves you. He wants you. And He's working with you right where you are, so that He can fill your life with His peace. That envy is based on the insecurity. And have you ever realized that you can even achieve that thing that you thought would give you the warmth and the joy in your life, only then to find that that joy is short-lived when you found that somebody else had something even bigger and better? I remember getting gifts as a child and being so excited about the gift, only to find a neighbor friend got something just a little bit better. And that thing that I was so excited about having just moments before, suddenly I'm not satisfied with it. Such a short-lived joy. That's the way it is with the outward stuff. Envy rots the bones. This morning, if there's a hint of envy in your life, comparison with somebody else, A yearning for something else, a desire for some other person or thing or whatever it might be, that today, that's a peace robber. and it will suck the peace out of your life, that envy. Number two is strife. Strife, that drama, that anger, that relational discontent. Here's what Scripture says about strife. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house filled with strife. I love that proverb. Better to have just crumbs on your plate, but we're all calm in here, than to have your plates full, to have the meat piled high, but you're angry at somebody in your house. Strife steals your joy. It steals your peace. You can have the biggest, you can have the brightest, but if you've got a conflict with somebody, it robs it all, doesn't it? It overtakes everything. If I'm not right with my wife, I don't want to go home. I don't want to be there. I don't even want to step in the door. Fortunately, that hasn't happened, and I don't remember when. I get excited to go home because it's a peaceful place. It's a loving place. It's a comfortable place. I know for a fact that some of us in this room struggle with going home at the end of the day because there's strife in the home. There's conflict, whether it's between you and your spouse, maybe you and your parents, you and your children. Some of you don't want to go to work because there's strife at work. And on a very much a minor level, some of you don't like getting in your automobile because as soon as you do, there's strife with people you don't even know. Who are these people? We don't know. But we're mad at them. The strife, it robs your peace. It sucks it out of you. That conflict, that drama, that anger, that argument that you have. Sometimes it's an argument just in your head. You're not even arguing with anybody. It's just inside. Strife. It's a peace robber. Number three, confusion. Confusion. Here's what Job says. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, only turmoil. Another word for turmoil is confusion. I got turmoil in my life. Why is this happening? That's what Job is saying. Why am I the one? I thought I did everything right. How come my flocks got destroyed? How come my house got destroyed? How come I lost my children? What is going on? I'm confused. Turmoil robs you of your peace. You've been there. And sometimes you didn't do anything to bring it on. I thought I was doing everything right, Lord. Why are bad things happening to me? Isn't it an equation? Do things right, and nothing else will ever happen to you as long as you live. That's bad. Why do we think that? We do, though. God, I came to church. I worshiped you. I even put money in the offering. And on Monday, I got an fender bender. That's not right. Shouldn't the offering I put in on Sunday guarantee me no fender benders on Monday? Isn't that how it works? You like pay the God, and the God just kind of works it through for you. Pay the God. God unravels all your problems. We treat God that way. And when it doesn't work, we get confused. And that confusion is the stirring up, and it creates turmoil in our life. Job experienced that. He said, I have no peace, no quietness, no rest in my life because of the turmoil. When is it going to stop? Why did I get sick? Why did I get fired? Why did my investments tank? Why? I got an answer for you. It's not a good answer, but it's an answer. I don't know. Because I'm not God. But here's what I do know. That there is a God, and that God knows more than I know. He knows my tomorrows already. And that He knows that if I will trust Him and I will let Him lead me down a particular path, I might hit some bumps, and there might be some potholes along the way, but I know that at the end of His road, there's joy. That's what I know. And I can rest in Him. But that confusion robs us of our peace. It's that internal wringing of the hands. That in your heart, you're just, argh! And I've had those times of getting angry at God. And God just has to wait till I get through with my little temper tantrum to show me that He really, truly does love me. And that He's not just interested in watching me squirm. Confusion. Maybe you're confused this morning. If you're confused, it's a peace robber. It's a peace robber. And you felt that. Number four, fear. Very, very akin to confusion. But with some added elements. Fear in our life. The fear of the future, the fear of of something happening. I fear the future, the fear of bad things, the fear of a threat, the fear of losing control, the fear of not having your hands on the steering wheel. Fear comes in, and that creates turmoil as well. Scripture says this, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The lack of fear is a choice. It's a choice. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Instead, trust me. Don't. The world's going to try to give you a sense of peace. It won't work. I don't give you peace the way the world gives. I give you real peace. Is there any reason why we would disbelieve this? When the shelves in your local bookstores, or if you look on Amazon, there are hundreds of books being written and new ones being published all the time. How you can get rid of this problem, get rid of this problem, get rid of this problem, get rid of this problem. Be disciplined here. All these books. Here's the peace. Here's the way you'll get peace. Here, just read this. Read this magic. Do these steps. Here, you'll have peace. And we have to continue to buy more books. Because we finished the one and we're still not at peace. We manage a little and we're still not at peace. Because Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Not the way the world gives peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. I've got real peace for you. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to fear for your safety. You don't need to fear for the future. You don't need to fear that life is hopeless. Fear is a peace robber that sucks life right out of you. Number five really encompasses everything, and that's sin. Sin, the first four really are underneath the subheading of the fifth one. Because the scripture says, whatever is not of faith is sin. And so if we are living in envy, or if we're living in strife or confusion or fear, none of those are life in faith. And so sin ultimately is the greatest fear drainer out of our lives. Isaiah 57:20-21 says, but the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. There's no peace. It's not going to be there. If right now you're sitting there and you're saying, yes, I know. You don't have to tell me anymore. I know. There's things in my life that shouldn't be there. Well, there's going to be no peace. If you know it's there, it's in direct conflict with the Holy Spirit that's in your life, and there will be no peace. He loves you too much to go, oh, it's okay. Just keep doing that, and I won't bother with it. It's okay. The Lord God is not an enabler, church. He is not an enabler. He will continue to fight inside of your heart, inside of your spirit, to rid you of those things that are killing you. They're killing you anyway. Why do we hold so tight to things that are destroying our lives? But we do. We don't want to let it go because somehow we find it dear. We find it comforting, and maybe just it's habitually normal to us and we're just used to that. There's an unrest inside because the Spirit of God is wrestling against the sin that's present. You can't keep on sinning and have peace at the same time. It won't work. That's God's gift to us, to make us so frustrated and to make us so discontent with those things that we'll finally give up and say, okay, I quit. Better quit earlier than later. Less scarring and less wasted time. And less damage to others. Sin is a destroyer. It will never stop destroying. Sin is a deceiver. It will never stop lying to you. Oh, it'll be okay. No, it won't. It's not that bad. Yes, it is. It'll only be for a little while. No, it won't. It just gets its grips in tighter. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Christ came that we will have life and life abundantly. He wants to give us peace. And how arrogant are we? I'm amazed at my own arrogance. I am amazed at my own arrogance. When I know there is something in my life that ought not to be there, and I'm not at peace, and I cry out to God for peace, and it doesn't come, and I blame Him. Anybody been there? When you know you're the one doing it, You're the one with the stuff. You're the one who has said, no, 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 no. And then when peace doesn't come, we blame God as if He's the one who took our peace from us. God, I thought you were supposed to give me peace. He said, well, I'd really like to. I really would. But stop sinning. Stop doing what you're doing. And I will love to lavish my peace upon you. Because my presence is that peace. But we resist. Let's say it again. Colossians 3:15. You know it, right? Let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Chance, change it up again. Let the peace of God rule in my heart. If you've got any of those five things, and there are more, in your life right now, they will rob you of your peace. We've got to deal with that. We've got to deal with it. Well, how do we maintain peace? Again, some steps, some things that are really, really very basic, but they are crucial to having a peace in our life. How can I restore peace to my life? Number one, to have a restored peace with God. God is our peace. The Holy Spirit is peace. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. If we want restored peace in our life, we have to have restored peace with God. Very simple. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God is as near as your repentance. Number five of the things that will rob you of peace is sin. It's as simple as this. Repent of the sin, find peace restored. It's very, very simple. Not so easy to live out sometimes. Because sin gets its talons into us, gets its grip in our heart. We become habitual about some of the things that we do that are wrong. And I'm all the time trying to, you know, break these natural knee-jerk reactions to things that I know are not godly. And it's a continual wrestling. And that's a good wrestle. Not a bad wrestle. We all struggle with things. It's a good thing to be fighting against that. That constant repentance. God, am I right with you? I want to be right with you. David, the psalmist, even said, Lord, see if there's anything that I'm not even aware of that might be robbing me of my peace. God, I don't even want things in there that I don't even know are in there. I don't even want my motives. I could do the right things for the wrong reason. I don't even want that. I want to have peace with you, Lord. And that peace with God is as near as your repentance is saying, Father, I want you to have full control. And this is a daily thing, by the way. You can't do it on a Sunday and then get to midweek next week and go, hey, I did it on Sunday. How come? What's going on? Because it's every day. What did Jesus say? Take up your cross. When? Daily. Daily. Every day. Take up your cross and follow me. Every day is a new crucifixion of our flesh. Every day is a new realignment. Every day is a new step toward, Lord, this day is yours. And we can break our day down into hours. Lord, this hour is yours. Lord, this minute is yours. And before we know it, we're actually living in His presence and we're living in peace. Today, if there's a need for repentance for any reason, this is step number one for you. Identify those things that ought not to be there. They have to go. Otherwise, just live a life of separated from God. And you will live in turmoil. It's the only alternative. Number two, revitalize your prayer life. You repent. You turn from those things. And that's not where you stop. That's just the beginning. The revitalization of your prayer life is the crucial part. And I told you this was basic, but it's amazing how the basic things are the things that get ignored. And then we try to find something else to answer our problem. There is no else. There is no else. It's as simple as the things that we know and we've been taught since we were the littlest of kids. If you want peace in your life, you need to know the one who's the Prince of Peace. How do you get to know the one who's the Prince of Peace? You talk to him. It's so simple. But I would guarantee this, if we had took the time to interview every single one of the people here today and ask the question, how would you rate your prayer life? We would be surprised at how absent time with God really is on a daily basis. Your prayer life must be revitalized. That's where your peace comes from, because it's Him. He Himself is our peace. Here's what Scripture says. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And what? And the peace of God, which is beyond our understanding. We don't even know how it happens. It's bigger than us, stronger than us, more powerful than us. It will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that an awesome visual? Picture the peace of God standing there with an AK-47, you know, all decked out, and he's ready to go, and that doubt comes, and he's like, get out of here, doubt. That fear comes, you fear, don't mess with this. Anxiety comes, back off. Envy, strife, all the things we talked about. The peace of God will be the guard. And then when that's happening, the world could be going nuts all around you, and people are wondering why you're at peace. Because you got a guard. He's standing right there. The peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. How did that happen? By not being anxious about anything but praying. Why is it that when we have a prayer meeting at the church, it's always the least attended event? Man, if it was that, attend sermons less and attend prayer meetings more. At least then we're talking to God. And I don't mean attend less. I'm just saying that as a comparison. Okay, you get it. Well, pastor said, see ya, I'm out of here. You get my point. Why do we do that? Nowhere in Scripture does it say, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind if you take better notes in church. It just doesn't. It's prayer. Revitalize your prayer life. Every day. For me, I just celebrated my 40th birthday, by the way. Let's say that. My 40th birthday. Say, you look way older than 40, bro. My spiritual birthday. Last week, August 24th. 1976 was my 40th, was my birthday, so I just celebrated 40 years. And I can tell you, in 40 years, my prayer life has been all over the place. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not so great. When it's great, the peace of God. What do you know? When it's not so great, I'm anxious and in turmoil and frustrated and hot-tempered, and what do you know? Just for me, this is just for me. If I don't have my focus on God be the first thing that happens when I wake up, I'm already started down a bad way. Stuff happens. I look at the computer. I'm reading the paper. And pretty soon I find myself all keyed up. And it just helps me to let the first thing I see is the Word of God. Let the first thing I say be praises to the Lord. Let the first things out of my mouth or thoughts in my head be prayer. It just helps me get going on the right foot. You do what you do, but your prayer life needs to be revitalized. It's crucial. It's Him ruling. Number three, refocus your mind on godly things. Now, it helps if your prayer life is revitalized, your focus will be better because you're concentrating there. But there's things that happen throughout the day that you can't be praying all the time with, you know, like your eyes shut and that kind of prayer. You've got to, like, function. But focus your mind. Refocus your mind on godly things. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. We need a steadfast mind. I have had to stop reading a lot of the news. I've had to. Because the more I read, the crazier I get, I find my peace. It's like a siphon in my soul. It really is. It feels like someone has got a siphoning hose in my heart and it's sucking my peace right out. And I got to put this away. I don't want to read this anymore. I don't want to read who killed who, who's mad at who did this to who's got this lawsuit against who. I got to stop. My mind's going crazy. So to relieve myself, let's go to Facebook. Yeah, that'll help. That'll help. I'll just be with my friends on Facebook and I go, they're nuts too. And I'm one of them. We're all crazy. So let's get away from that. Let's watch sports on TV. Ryan Lochte. Oh, he's nuts as well. It's just a refocusing of the mind. We get it, right? What is your mind dwelling on? Philippians, at the very end of He Will Guard Your Heart and Mind in Christ Jesus, the very next verse is, and think on these things, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent. Think on these things. Where is your mind finding its focus? That's where you have to let it dwell. We put in all kinds of stuff and we let our mind just marinate in crud. We really do. We put the water in the pan. We fill it with mud. We fill it with all kinds of goop. We put our nice brain in there and we marinate it. And then we wonder why we're not thinking peaceful thoughts. Our Bible is on the shelf. Our prayer life is sporadic. The things that we let into our ears and our eyes and our mind are not godly. And we wonder why we're not at peace. What is our mind soaking in? Romans chapter 12, right? Be transformed by what? The renewal of your mind. It starts here. It starts in our mind. What are we filling our mind with? You have to refocus. And if there are things that you're letting into your mind that are ungodly, that are impure, that are negative, that are violent, that are unpraiseworthy, don't go there anymore. Stop reading that stuff. You say, well, Pastor, I don't want to put my head in the sand, you know, pretend like the world is not around me. No, that's not what I'm saying. We need to be aware, but it's what we allow our mind to dwell on. We think and we think and we think and we think and we wonder why we turn into what we're thinking. No wonder we're negative. We've been thinking about negative all the time. No wonder we're complaining because that's what we're filling our mind with. We have to refocus our mind. Him who is steadfast, the scripture says. Steadfast is like a pillar you can lean on. Him whose mind is able to lean on the Lord Jesus Christ, his mind is steadfast, it's connected, that person will be kept in perfect peace. All the time. Number four, rely on God's promises. Help me, Teresa, I'm stuck. Rely on God's, there we go. Rely on God's promises. We've gone from repentance to prayer to the management of my mind. What do I want my mind to dwell on? The best thing is to rely on God's promises. That's the best thing. That's what will keep the word and keep things that are right and pure in our minds. Scripture says this, great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Is that a great scripture? If you asked me if that was in the Bible, I would have said, well, it sounds pretty good. It must be in there. But I hadn't memorized that one. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. If you find yourself stumbling a lot, I would then ask myself a question. Have I loved the law of God so that great peace can be found in my life? You know what I'm excited about? I was excited about Stevie's announcements about what the youth group is doing and all that. And what they're doing right now, or they've just kind of finished it in the summer, but they've been working on memorizing the Sermon on the Mount. And there is no better way to rely on God's promises and to let your mind focused in Scripture memory. I want to challenge each one of you to begin your own personal Scripture memory program. I took this to heart. It's been a bunch of years ago, but I let it lay dormant and I picked it back up again. That Scripture says this, I have hidden His word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Now, I know it's hard for you to believe that at times I struggle with sin. I know. In the struggle, we fight and we fight and we fight and we fight. I fight and I fight and I fight. And I totally ignore the obvious and the literal Word of God. The Word of God says that if I hide His Word in my heart, then I'll not sin. I thought, what am I doing? I'm going to hide His Word in my heart. I'm going to dwell on His Word. I'm going to memorize Scripture and get it in my heart. And you know what I've been finding? I'm not thinking about cruddy stuff near as much. I'm putting His Word in. And I've challenged Stephen. He hasn't challenged a youth group yet. But they started way before me, but I'm going to catch up and I'm going to beat them and I'm going to learn the Sermon on the Mount before them. Now, I've cheated because I learned it about a few years ago, so I've already got a head start on them. But I'm going to do, and it's so much more refreshing to have those little moments and you're putting God's Word in, putting God's Word in, putting God's Word in. That's why in the Old Testament it said, bind the Word of God on your hand and bind the Word of God on your forehead. Kind of hard to miss when you've got the Scripture like bound right in the middle of your forehead. You think I'm not kidding? Go to Israel. You find the people there with the Scripture tied with a leather thong on their head. I wonder if we'd think about God's Word more often if we walked around with this phylactery right in the middle of our forehead. Carry His Word. Rely on His Word. His Word is powerful. It's true. And you won't stumble when you rely and love His Word. Number five, remember to trust God in all things. It's one thing to know His Word. It's another thing to trust it. Amen? Yes, Lord, I know exactly what You told me, and I don't think that's true. Yes, Lord, I have heard Your command, and I think I got a better idea. Yes, Father, I hear that You say this is the way to go, but I'm turning left instead. We got to trust what He says. Here's what Scripture says. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. If you don't let your heart be troubled, He's saying, you're going to have peace. Trust me, and your heart won't be troubled anymore. Trust me, and you won't be keyed up anymore. Trust me, and you won't be stressed out and anxious and frayed at all your edges anymore. Trust me. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let that happen. Pray and get the guard up there, and then you won't worry about that stuff anymore. Trust me. Trust my word. Does it make sense all the time? No. Does it for you? Does God make sense to you all the time? Okay, that wasn't a trick question. Some of you are kind of nervous, like, should I say yes? Should I say no? I don't know. I'll just help you out. God does not make sense to me all the time. He does things and I go, huh? Like a confused puppy. What is that? I don't understand what you just did, Lord. The Lord says, chill, trust me. I got this. Okay. Hide your word in my heart. I'm going to pray. I'm going to let my mind marinate on the things that are right and good and praiseworthy. I'm going to keep my repentance quick. Okay, here we go. I don't know where we're going, but You're in charge. Isn't it great to not be the leader? Isn't it great? I find it so comforting to not be the leader. All I got to do is follow Him. Where are we going, Lord? It's going to be great. Trust me. As soon as I want to get out in front, that's when I get all tense. I get crazy and frustrated, and my peace goes right out the door because I'm not designed to lead. You get that, right? We're not God. As hard as we try sometimes, we're not God. God, let me drive. I think I'd like to try driving this life right now. Okay, knock yourself out. You ever grab the wheel? And how fast does it take to crash and burn? Real fast. Trust Him. Trust. Just keep your eyes focused and trust. It doesn't even have to be bad stuff. Peter's example, walking on the water, is huge. Were the waves around Peter while he was walking on the water bad waves? They weren't bad waves. They're just waves. There's no morality about them at all. They produced a danger that if you fall into them, they could drown you. But they're not bad. They're just waves. They're just distractions. And when we get our eyes off the Master, we get distracted and we go under. Every time. It's just the way it is. Trust Him. Number 6, realize that peace is a choice. And the result of your choices. Peace is a choice, and it's a result of your choices. John 16:33. I've told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Things aren't always going to be rosy. There's going to be trouble, but take heart. Don't take fear. Don't let your heart be troubled. Take heart. Take heart means take your heart and bring it under submission to the things of God. That's what it means. Take heart. Take it. Tell it what to feel. Tell it what to believe. Well, my heart wants to get crazy. Tell it not to. I'm going to trust You instead, Lord. God, I think I'm losing it. You're not going to lose it. Trust me. Okay, God, I'll get my focus back again. Take heart. Trust Him. You'll have peace that way. There'll be hard times. But those hard times aren't designed to crush you. They're designed to build you. They're designed to strengthen you. Take heart. You can choose to live at peace today or not. I love this scripture, Isaiah 53:5, and we finish with this. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us, what? Peace was upon Him. And by His wounds we are healed. If we don't have peace, we are denying the very reason Jesus went to the cross. He said, I died to give you peace. Your punishment, the punishment that robbed you of peace, I took that, Jesus says. And I hung on a cross so that you can have peace. Yeah, I know life gets a little crazy. It's okay. Trust me. Read my word. Trust its promises. Refocus your mind. Dwell on that which is right and good. Keep your prayer life vital. Deny yourself daily and take up your cross. Keep repentance short. Make sure you're just right with me all the time. And when you are, peace. Everything could be going just crumbling around you. He will keep you in perfect peace. That's what he died for. Say, would you read that with me? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have peace today. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Lord God, let the peace rule in my heart. Father, we ask you today, with all of our hearts, to help us leave behind the things that rob us of peace. And instead, Lord, embrace those things that you promised to guarantee us peace. You went to the cross so that we could live peaceful lives. Peace with you, peace with each other, peace with ourselves. And one day we'll see you face to face. And we'll live in peace for all of eternity. We realize, God, that this world is a very unpeaceful place. Every day, somebody killed someone else. Every day, someone stole or manipulated or abused someone else. Every day, there's a new fight. Every day, there's a new thing that makes us envious. Every day, we just get so busy that we forget. And we take control of our life. We forget you. Help us today, Lord, to restore our peace with you. Help us today, God, to revitalize our prayer life, to refocus our mind, to rely on your promises, to realize we can trust you, to remember we can choose. Your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I just want us to spend just a few moments in prayer. So I love this about being in one service, that we don't have to rush. And we can take time now to really dwell on these verses. Be really honest with God. It's such a foolish thing to be dishonest with God, because he already knows what you're thinking. He already knows what you're feeling. So to try to somehow tell him something different, he's like, really? You think I don't know? Let's be honest with God right now. And let's make some decisions to release those things that are robbing us of peace and to embrace the Prince of Peace. Sean just plays a little lightly on the guitar. Let's just spend a few minutes talking to God. Okay, in the quietness of your heart. And let's let him bathe us in his peace this morning. Jesus, we choose today to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We understand, Father, that your peace is as close as you are. For you yourself are our peace. Forgive us, Lord, when we have allowed worldly things to rob us of peace. Worldly pursuits, sinful ways, confusing times where we don't trust you, fear, strife, envy. Forgive us, Lord. And today we choose differently. We choose instead to repent, to stop ruling our own lives and to let you back on the throne. We choose today, Lord, to call out to you in prayer, to seek your face, to hunger and thirst for you. Your word says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. We choose to refocus our minds. Stop letting our mind dwell on things that are robbing us of peace. We choose, God, to renew our hunger for your word. We choose to trust you, Father, no matter what. God, we give you glory this morning. We thank you that you are here to restore peace to anxious hearts, and that we can only respond with thank you, Jesus. For the punishment that brought us peace was laid upon you on the cross. Now by that sacrifice we're healed. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. We're going to pray at the altars, as we do at the end of each service. And the prayer partners will be prepared to come and take their places. This is one of those days, church, that it's so nice to join with someone and to interact and say, would you pray with me? Oh, man, it's such a blessing to have someone join with you and to be able to kind of offload, you know, that anxiousness and that stuff, and let someone bear it with you. And it's so much nicer when you pick up something heavy to have somebody else go, hey, you want a hand with that? And then you pick it up and carry it easily. Why do we bear our burdens by ourselves when God has given us the body to bear burdens with us, with each other? So if you do this for me before we do that, if you have your connection card, we need to pass those in. And ushers, if you'd collect them, center aisles, just pass them to the outside, outer aisle, pass them to the inside. Okay, let's pick those up.